If this is to end in fire, then we should all burn together. Watch the flames climb high into the night, calling out, Father, oh, stand by and we will watch the flames burn on and on the mountainside. Desolation comes upon the sky. Oh, I see fire.
Kia ora, New Zealand. Jack Tame here on News Talk ZB through to midday. And my guest this morning is one third of the trio that makes up Solomio. Solomio, it would be fair to say, I think, have become the sound of summer, playing everywhere from Villa Maria to Hagley Park to Whangamata. Pene Pati is now in Napier, preparing for the role of Pinkerton in Madama Butterfly. He's had a huge year. He made his debut at New York's Carnegie Hall just last month. Pene is practicing today and is with us this morning. Tēnā koe, good morning.
Oh, kia ora, good morning.
How is Napier today?
Oh, man, it is on fire today. It's beautiful. I came down at a good time.
Do they put you up in a real fancy place right there down on the waterfront so you can get up in the morning, go have a little coffee and walk along and look at the, the waves crashing in on the shore?
Oh, man, I wish. that sounds great.
I would have thought you'd be able to demand like the fanciest place in town these days. Can't you do that?
Oh, you know, I wish I could. You know, I'm just a real chilled out guy. I'm like, you know what, guys, just anything will do. Yeah. And then I get into my place and I'm like, ah, damn.
Fair enough. It's been a pretty big summer for you, though, so getting some sleep would be important. How has it been these last few weeks? You guys have been all over the show.
I know. I'm getting there slowly.
Yeah.
all over New Zealand, but you know, I'm it's going well. I'm getting some good amount of sleep, a lot of singing. I thought I'd have at least a tiny little break, but I guess not. You know, rest for the wicked, is what they say.
Yeah. Was it good to catch up with the Solomio brothers? Because it's strange to think of you guys not being together the whole year.
Sometimes it's good to catch up. and then at the end you're like, okay, everyone get out of my hair.
Yeah.
No, it's good. It's always good to see them. It really is.
How has that been, being separated as you have been over the last wee while?
I think a lot of people think we stay together like the whole year, but actually we come together only for the concerts and then we split up. It's, everyone does their own respective career path in some sense. And I think that's what makes the group really good, because every time we see each other, it's a genuine, you know, brotherly banter, because it's like, man, I haven't seen you in forever.
Yeah, yeah. See, that's a good thing, isn't it? Because when you guys obviously started performing together, you were like living in each other's pockets. That was the nature of it. You're spending so much time together. But you've sort of got the best of both worlds at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. And that was the whole gist of the group. It was kind of like we started the group so that we could pursue our opera. And we always said, you know, our opera will always come first, because that's what makes the group the group. And so we told each other, as soon as you guys get what you need to, you guys keep going, but always come back.
Yeah.
And that was the premise of it.
How did you get into opera as a style of singing rather than different styles?
You know what's funny? The whole reason, like, if I really boil it down, why I did opera was because I wanted to prove someone wrong.
Really? Really?
That is legit why I did it. Because someone told me, you know what, the opera gene doesn't run through the Pacific line. They were like, you just won't, you know, it doesn't really cut it.
Who told you that?
One of my mentors, believe it or not.
That's shocking.
And I thought, you know what, how do I prove this guy wrong?
Yeah.
Like, okay, I'm going to do this.
So just tell us where you were when that happened.
This was back in 2010, 2009, and I always thought to myself, oh, why aren't there more, you know, it's embedded in our DNA as Pacific Islanders, like, why aren't there more singers? Because this is what we do. And then the mentor said, well, you know what, it's just not our art form, it's a European thing, and you're just not going to cut it. You may be a good singer, but not really a worldwide opera singer. I thought, yeah, okay, this is the time. I'm going to prove these guys wrong.
Wow. Isn't that amazing how a little moment like that can actually change the course of your life?
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And at the time, I was doing hip-hop, believe it or not.
Yeah.
I was doing hip-hop and R&B.
What?
Yeah.
So tell me about that. You were into hip-hop. Quite a different art form.
I know. I was loving it, too. And I started joining the community choir because I thought, man, I want to do some classical singing. I was doing science at school instead of... Bachelor of Science instead of Bachelor of Music. And then slowly but surely, I made my way over to music thinking, this is a good way to conquer the arts and prove people wrong.
Yeah. Because what sort of music were you exposed to as a kid and as a teenager?
Funny enough, country song, country music, gospel, you know.
Yeah.
Everything but classical. Everything but opera, really.
And I suppose for you and your mates, hip-hop was the music of the day, the music of your generation, and so that's what you were interested in.
Yeah.
Who did you look up to in hip-hop?
Oh, man. You know, at the time, this is when Kanye was, just coming out.
And
I really enjoyed
it. Kanye's my favorite artist of all time.
Oh, see, you know, his first few albums were just insane.
Yeah.
This is when he was young, he was on fire. I was just like, wow, this guy is creating these beats. He's creating a new style. Loved it.
Yeah. So that's who you aspired to be, someone like Kanye West. And instead, you're playing Carnegie Hall, singing as one of the world's most in-demand tenors.
Oh, wow. That's so strange to hear.
Yeah. It's an amazing path you have beaten over the last few years. Do you feel like you belong in the opera world now?
You know, when I was singing in Carnegie, there was a strange feeling in me when I was... At that time, I was standing shoulder to shoulder with the A-list of opera. These guys singing at New York Metropolitan, Covent Garden. And I thought, I actually don't belong here. I don't know why. I think it was the Kiwi in me or the Samoan in me that was playing the humble card going, what am I doing here? I still got a lot to work for. And it wasn't until they looked at me and said, no, you worked to get here. And there was some point in that concert where I thought, you know what? I went through a lot to get here, and I definitely deserve this.
Yeah.
And there's something about it that I hope, you know, that inspired some Kiwis maybe or some youngsters coming up through New Zealand, because if I could make it, seriously, come on. You would never guess I could sing opera. You see me walking around in jandals and rugby shorts most of the day, and you're like, what do you do? Oh, yeah, I'm an opera singer. They're like, what?
So how did that gig come about for you?
So one of the tenors had pulled out right at the last minute, and the conductor knew me very well because we had done an opera together in San Francisco, and he called me the night before. Literally, I had just finished a concert, and he said, hey, can you come over and do the show? And I said, well, when is the show? And he goes, your flight leaves tomorrow at 6 a.m.
Whoa.
I was like, really?
Yeah, and you could do it.
Yeah, well, I had a lot of time to think about it, and I thought, you know, it's moments like these that really make the artist. It's these moments where people are like, this guy came in at the very last minute, despite all the odds, and he performed and did the show and killed it.
Yeah. So you are performing in Madama Butterfly. This would have to be one of the best known operas in the world. What do you love about it?
I think I love it's everything you would want in an opera. It's got tragedy, it's got the love story, it's got drama. It's, you know, it's almost, if you have never seen Miss Saigon, it's kind of, it's that storyline. There's something beautiful about it. The music is very beautiful. Butterfly's so innocent. I'm the character that walks in and kind of destroys her life.
Yeah, pretty much. It's a good opera, isn't it, for people who perhaps don't know much about opera, haven't been to an opera before. Quite a good introductory one, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, even the hard guys would drop those tears because it's one of those operas that you're like, oh, my God, this is so moving.
Yeah.
And, you know, the best thing about being down here is being with the kids.
Yeah,
the kids who are there's a group called Project Prima Volta who are singing in this opera, and they are insane. These kids are committed. They're like 15, to 20 years old, and I was thinking, man, at that time, I didn't even know what I was doing with my life.
Well, you just wanted to be Kanye West at that age.
Well, exactly. Yeah, and these guys are all singing in Italian, and they're like, this is my fifth opera. I was like, yeah. Oh, my God.
That's amazing. Oh, that's really cool. What a great idea. So you're traveling the world heaps these days. I know that 2018 is going to see you all over the place once again. Are you finding that you're starting to pick up the Italian? You're picking up a bit of German, maybe?
Yeah. Well, last year I was actually forced. I was forced to go to Italy to learn Italian.
Wow. How was that?
It was the first week was horrible.
Yeah. where were you living?
No one's. I was living in Florence.
Oh,
and
sounds awful, Penny.
it was horrible. I was like, get me out of here. I don't like the sunshine and
and the pasta and all the fresh seafood and the general joie de vivre that is Italian life. That must have been difficult. How long did you spend there?
I was there for close to 7 weeks, and it was just intense. It was 7 hours a day of speaking Italian.
Wow. Do you feel like you're at a really good stage with it now?
Oh yeah, I understand it very well now, and I can speak it well. I can speak conversational very well. I'm not like incredibly fluent,
yeah.
But I can definitely get around, have a convo,
yeah.
With anybody, and yeah.
Yeah. So after Napier, where do you go to, and what else is planned for 2018?
Straight after Napier, like legit straight after, the day after, I fly to Hawaii for the Solimio gig.
Awesome.
Back for Porirua, and then San Jose for another opera in the States, and then France.
I just love that. I get, you know, I just picture the T-shirt saying Carnegie Hall, Hawaii, France, Paris, Porirua. That's the way it needs to be as well.
And then everyone else is going to be like, that sounds exotic. What are you doing? I was like, you got to go there. It's a beautiful place.
Hey, it is such a pleasure to speak as always, Penny. Congratulations on an incredible few years and another amazing year ahead. We'll put all the details from Madama Butterfly in Napier up on our Facebook page and our website. And you have yourself a wonderful weekend, won't you?
Thank you so much. You too.
Kia ora, Penny. See you next time.
That
is Pene Pate, who will be performing as Pinkerton in Hawke's Bay's Festival Opera's Madama Butterfly. 13th of February is the first show. Like I say, all of those details will be up on newstalkzb.co.nz.